Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
John.
Stinkfinger.
Butterbean.
I'm thinking Butterbean's a better name than Stinkfinger.
It is, which is why you chose Stinkfinger.
Right.
I just want to ask one thing out loud.
Yes. Why?
What else can go wrong?
Right now, if a meteorite shot through your ceiling and struck me in the temple, I'd think, yeah. That was about right.
Oh, man. You all people right out there in Netland don't even want to know what we've been doing to give you a single podcast today.
We're like at, what, 160 shows in?
Thereabouts.
With practice and everything like that. Maybe 170 shows.
Who knows? Some fake ones in there somewhere.
A couple of shows that we recorded entirely with the pause button on.
That's true.
All said and done, we've probably done about 300 shows. And you'd think we've got it right by now? No.
You'd think we would have mastered it.
Every show is a new adventure. And yeah. What Rich is not saying, what I haven't said yet, is that it's taken us roughly 2.5 hours to get this thing rolling. And
which should have been rolling 2.5 hours ago.
Everything has gone wrong. The machine that we have that I lugged 100 miles for this effort... The audio out port on it for some reason is not working.
Yeah, that little 1/8-inch jack that we all love.
I don't know what's going on with it.
On most computers or this computer, it has internal speakers, and when you're playing audio, the sound comes out of the internal speakers. But when you plug a jack into it, it's like headphones or in this case a line that goes out of the computer into my mixer. It's supposed to recognize that jack and shut off the speakers and then send sound through the cable, through the jack, and no.
Yeah, it just wouldn't respond.
It's just suddenly not doing it.
Yep, and... We were thinking about, wow, we'll record the show and then Rich will edit in the music and intro and the outro.
A lot of work. It's a pain in my ass, to tell you the truth.
It's the work thing, but it also doesn't feel like we're doing a show. The whole intro music and everything, I've sort of been conditioned like Pavlov's dog. You know, when the music starts playing, I salivate. And when that doesn't happen, it doesn't feel like a show. So we were struggling. I was getting depressed. I was thinking about drinking. Oh, we drank. We drank the whole bottle.
The bottle. John's got a little sip left in his little sippy cup that I gave him.
That's in his stem.
John's got, since John smashed one of my fine pieces of Czech crystal a few weeks ago, I decided to give John stemware made of plastic.
I'm on probation.
For today's show. And I'm drinking out of a... martini glass. I've always loved the shape of martini glasses. And
next week he'll be drinking out of a shoe.
That's right. Whatever it takes. As long as I'm drinking. Common denominator, drinking.
So anyways, with all of this effort, we bring you another show.
Yeah. We ended up having to cut up a little audio adapter that I have because we're using John's iPhone as our music player today, which for... We've used the iPod in previous shows, your old iPod, your iPod Nano that you used to have. And we were planning on using this and setting up John's iPod as a backup device in case John's computer failed.
I think it's the primary for now.
The problem with the iPhone is that the jack is recessed. You need a special male 1/8-inch jack to plug into it. So we had to cut up one of my plastic adapters to plug into it. And then I have scotch tape wrapped around it to keep it from falling apart. And then I plugged another adapter into that. And then I plugged my cable into the second adapter, the cable that normally just plugs into the computer.
And I'm being very careful not to touch it when we're recording because everything's loose and it's making little
staticky
noises. Yeah.
We took a picture of it. We're going to post it when we post this show, but it's worth seeing.
Yeah, this show is brought to you by scotch tape.
Yeah, and normally we do two songs, and because of the technical difficulties we're having, we're probably only going to do one song. We're definitely only going to do one song.
Yeah.
And the show is a bit frustrating, actually, because John and I are both sitting here frustrated, wanting to kill someone. And Steve Jobs, by the way, is the man that we would want to kill. Because, you know, this would have been so much easier if we didn't have to make the adapter.
I wish pancreatic cancer on that man. Oh, wait. He's already got that.
There you go. That's not even nice.
No, I know. I only said that because, you know, it would make me sound like I'm all-powerful and I can make people get cancer.
You give them vinegar. Give them vinegar.
Well, no, they're dogs.
Then they lick their dog.
Did you know, this is another one, did you know that green beans cause liver failure in dogs?
I don't know. Did you know that chocolate is poison to dogs?
No, it's not.
See, that's actually a true one.
Oh, wait, that is true. Yeah, you have to be a real fan of the show to understand what the hell we're talking about. Basically, I'm trying to start rumors. And one of the rumors is vinegar causes cancer in dogs. Pass that along eventually. And my goal is to have that come back to me in an email. Did you know that vinegar causes cancer in dogs? I want someone to write that in an email, in all honesty to me.
Well, perhaps they will.
All right.
So John actually got to witness some of the Blu-ray HD on my HD TV today. We didn't actually watch a movie all the way through. We are planning some sort of film fest someday. But
in terms of television, I'm a Luddite. I've got the old analog set.
What did we watch? We watched a snippet of Batman
Returns.
We watched a snippet of Full Metal Jacket, and we watched a snippet of 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Right, and I thought it looked fantastic.
Yeah, I'm kind of thrilled with the whole Blu-ray quality.
I was expecting the older films to not hold up so much, but man, they're crystal clear.
Well, you know, remastered.
Pyle looks just as smug as he did, what, 20 years ago when that film came out? How long is it?
86, something like that.
Wow.
I saw that in the theaters. I mean, I was like blown away that a new Kubrick film had come out at all. Right. And my friend Matt was like, dude, there's a new Kubrick film out. Well, we're there, you know?
Yeah, I didn't
Full
see that.
Full Metal Jacket.
I did not see that in the theaters.
Yeah, I remember going to see that with my friend Matt, who... maybe a guest on our show one of these days, talking about the environment.
Well, you're going to have to drug him, put him in a burlap sack to get him in here.
It's going to apparently take something like that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that the whole HD experience is phenomenal. Blu-ray is a good thing. I'm coveting right now.
Yeah, Blu-ray is a lot of fun. I'm happy with it. I've watched about four or five films all the way through. And the clarity is pretty amazing. And... I'm happy with it. I can't wait for more Blu-ray viewing experiences. And once again, I own three Kubrick films on Blu-ray, 2001, A Clockwork Orange, and Full Metal Jacket. And I keep trying to talk John into some sort of film fest, and you know, maybe one of these days it'll happen. But it's going to require some extraordinary circumstances.
Each one of those films is 6 hours.
No, I already calculated. 6 hours and 42 minutes to watch all three.
Oh, man, that's brutal. 6 hours of film.
Don't want to have to watch them all in a row. We can have lunch and dinner between. Speaking of dinner, we had a gluten-free pizza today from the New York Pizza and Deli.
NYPD.
Yep.
It was good.
Yep. Still de-stressing from the technical 2.5 hours of technical difficulties today.
If you're a person in the area, the New York Pizza and Deli, one of these days you might actually see the pizza that we ate in print.
That's right. They were actually photographing it for an ad.
Maybe as evidence.
Seriously, when we got there, our pizza was like on a table or something.
Yeah. Well, I think it was auspicious. They had people photographing, doing a brochure for the pizza place. And I don't know how many people order gluten-free pizzas, but they're like, oh, yeah, we got a gluten-free pizza here. Let's get a picture of it instead of making one, you know, wasting the material special for the photo shoot. And, of course, I ordered
at the end
it
of
with
the day,
the most perfect ingredients.
And it got cold. And all the photography made the pizza a little cold.
Tasted okay to me.
It was good. I liked it.
Cold pizza is good because you can eat it faster.
Before it gets colder.
Right. Actually, it wasn't cold. It was approaching room temperature.
So... Do we have a topic for today? Are we going to play a song first?
Let's play the song and then we'll go into the topic. The topic is ad hoc questions, but we'll get there.
Ad hoc questions. That's right.
I'm conditioned.
He's going to the computer to play the music, and yet, there is no functioning computer, as Lech Kowalski pointed out in one of our interviews. At least it worked for music then. What Lech was referring to was the fact that we couldn't get on the internet with it.
Right. So now it's even more of just a useless hunk of glass.
Yeah.
That's projecting
it's pretty,
light on us.
And it looks good, but got to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a tune. Purple Cannibals, Batman.
Which episode was that on?
I don't know. I'm wondering. You know, I'm reading from the list of all the holy phrases Batman or Robin said on the original Batman TV show, and I'm wondering what the context for
I see that
Holy Purple Cannibals was.
Holy Purple Cannibals. Holy Paraffin.
Holy Reshevsky. That one must have been chess related. Samuel Reshevsky, great American chess player.
Holy Mashed Potatoes. Holy Cryptology.
Yeah, give me my
that's a good list.
Back. There's like hundreds on there.
You have to use one a day. Actually, you should make a calendar. The Holy a Day calendar.
Well, we could go. Yeah, there's probably 300 on here or more.
Probably 900 on there.
Holy Epicure. Holy Crying Towels. Holy Crying Towels?
What the hell's a crying towel?
I don't know. Holy Chicken Soup. Holy Chocolate Eclair. Hmm.
Those are kind of commonplace. Chicken soup, yeah. Chocolate eclair.
Holy return from oblivion.
See, that's a good one.
Holy reverse polarity.
Eh, eh.
Say something. I'm reading.
Well, I'm seeing the reflection on there, and there's holies, and then some of them are really long.
Holy uncanny photographic mental processes.
There you go.
Holy contributing to the delinquency of minors.
That's the one that I remember, yeah. That one's perfect.
No, holy priceless collection of Etruscan snoods. I don't know what that means.
What's a snood?
What's an Etruscan?
Etruscan? Etruscan. They were the civilization in Italy, pre-Roman.
Oh. Holy cosmos. Holy corpuscles.
Cosmos. We're talking about the soccer team?
Holy Pele, Batman. anyway,
hey,
this actually is a holy list of things that Robin said on the TV show.
You have to publish that.
It is published. It's on
Chaos.
A website that's now, or I should say a BBS that's now defunct, and I posted this list as a message on Facebook.
All right. Well, we got something else. We got something a little bit more interesting, I hope. After the comedy of errors
of today.
Earlier, yeah, this is something interesting.
Well, what's even sadder is I'm not sure we had a lot of topics for today's show, and we're forced into doing something I'm not sure we were going to do just because of time.
Right. Well, I don't know if this is going to save any time. Anyways, you had a whole bunch of questions that you pulled out of a website. Where did you get these from?
It was a podcast called Five Questions. Five questions, and he's not doing the podcast anymore, but he would put up five questions and he would take audio replies from people.
Okay.
He also had a phone line where you could call in and give your answers.
Well, that's ambitious. Having a whole phone line for it. That's cool, though.
Yeah, and he's not producing the podcast anymore, so we're borrowing some of these questions because we need a show. But anyway, yeah, Five Questions was the name of his show, and he used to get guys from all over the world. I remember this one guy from Ireland calling him with a heavy accent and answering all the questions. Kind of cool.
Well, I'm going to hit you with some. You can read them if you want to. But
you can read them.
All right. First question. Question number one.
And you can apply these to yourself if you're playing at home.
Yes. This is a play-at-home game. Dogs or cats and why? That's question number one.
Well, cats. Yeah, I love all animals, but for me, cats are lower maintenance. You know, you can leave for a weekend, you can leave them a clean cat box and a lot of food, and they'll be fine. Yes, they'll be alone, but they'll be fine. But dogs need to be taken out. I had a girlfriend once who had three dogs, two cats, and a rabbit, and we could never go anywhere because she didn't trust anybody to watch her pets.
I don't know.
So she always had to be there to water them and walk them.
I didn't know what the context of the question was. I thought it was, you know, what would you prefer to eat? Dogs and cats.
Oh, well, that's totally different. Dogs, then, right. Yeah.
No, well, I think it was actually what you were talking about. And I'd pick dogs just for the opposite reasons, because dogs seem more like a member of the family, whereas cats seem to be like a guest and they're just tolerating you.
That's why I love cats. They're so independent. But you've had cats.
I've had cats, and I prefer the dogs because the dogs want to be around people all the time, and it's cool because they're...
Who wants to be around something that wants to be around you all the time?
Me!
Well, that's crazy talk.
Well, I think dogs, the personalities are more in tune with...
Don't you ever need me time? Like, leave me the fuck alone? I'm sorry, leave me the F alone me time?
Yeah, edit that out. Well, yeah, I do. And you know what? The dog doesn't bother me. When it's just me alone...
Yes, because you know what he's doing? He's sitting there and he's going, hey, 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 hey.
No,
which
not.
Translated into doggies is roof, roof, roof.
No, dogs don't do that. When a
of
dog,
course they do that. What do you mean they don't do that?
When they're upset and they're trying to get your attention, but for the most part, well, my dog, before he passed on to the nether regions, my dog, he used to just hang with me. He wouldn't bother me. He'd come, hang, sit next to me. I'd be working. He'd curl up next to me, and he was just there. He was just happy that I was there. He didn't have to talk to me because he couldn't.
Cats do that.
No. You know what cats are doing? They're saying, food. You've got food, right?
Oh, dogs never do that.
Well, dogs do
feed
that.
Feed me. Feed me. Bacon. Bacon. Bacon.
I can't read. It was one of my favorite Bacon Strips commercials. No, I just think that dogs are more like little kids.
Whereas too high maintenance for me.
Cats are psychotic axe murderers that just can't use thumbs. That's what the difference is.
Well, cats are more highly evolved, though, than
I don't
dogs.
Think so.
Yeah, retractable claws.
Does that make them more highly evolved?
Oh, absolutely.
How so?
There's a lot of zoologists who believe that cats are self-aware, and I've never heard any animal people say that they think dogs are self-aware, but they really believe cats are self-aware.
Well, I think I told you about the study where they said dogs have a sense of right and wrong. Did I tell you about that?
I don't know. I don't think we have the time, though,
I think I've told you about that. I think I even talked about it on the show.
I don't recall that, and yeah, I recall many things.
And it's been proven.
Yeah.
It has.
Cats more highly evolved, retractable claws.
Yeah, well, I don't trust anything that craps in a box.
You know, just stuff that craps on your living room floor.
Hey.
You give a cat a sandbox, they're fine.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly the problem when you've got kids and you've got a sandbox. The cat doesn't know what the difference between a toy is and its toilet.
That may be true.
No, I'm not down with the cats. I mean, I like cats.
You had the coolest orange tabby next to mine ever.
I like cats, but
John had an orange tabby named
Claude.
Claude Monet, French Impressionist cat.
Right. And the only
and he was named after Claude Monet.
If I had to choose,
I get it. It
would be the dog.
I get it.
But it's not to say that I dislike cats.
And you had a cat named Pixel, too, didn't you?
I did.
Gray guy?
Yes, he was.
I didn't see him that much. I remember Claude, though. John had him at SU with him, and then somebody narked on him. And
that's right. He got evicted.
He got evicted because he was staying in John had a townhouse, one of these concrete, ugly, but yet we used to party there, townhouses. And
right.
somebody narked on him.
Well, and I don't know.
John also had a cat named Mitch Mitchell. Named after the drummer for the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Right. Well, Pixel was—he was a weird beast because he was a stray, and he actually was semi-feral. I think at one point when he was a kitten, it took him a long time to even tolerate people. But he was not social. He was not very social at all.
Where did you get him?
Betsy used to work at a veterinary clinic when we were in college. When I was in grad school, and. He came in, and they were going to get rid of him and, you know, do
away
with
him.
By get
rid of him, you mean?
I mean.
Execute?
I mean, give him the dirt nap. Or in the case of a veterinary clinic, give him the needle and then turn him into ashes. But we said, look, let's
now, did you have him when you were in Maryland?
No. Well, yes, actually.
Because that's.
Yes, we did. We did.
That's probably why I didn't know him that well.
Right.
Because you left, and I didn't hang out with you forever.
Correct.
And then you came back, and I didn't recognize you.
Correct.
I was like, John goes, Rich! Well, and I went, who is this man with a goatee and a daughter over his shoulders? I don't know a man with a goatee and a daughter. That's the way my brain works.
And we might even get to question number two.
What's question number two, Batman?
Question number two is, what annoys you most about technology?
Holy voltage! I'm trying to find one. I'm trying to find one relevant to the questions.
Well, you need to prepare better.
Why don't you answer that one first,
You know
John?
What annoys me most about technology? It's not the obvious that, oh, yeah, it breaks. Like, you know, the whole headphone jack thing.
Right.
What annoys me most about technology is how it's like a temptress. It sucks you in and it's an evil temptress. It makes you all comfortable and feel great and you think that you can't live without it.
And then
the headphone jack breaks.
Right.
You get dependent. That's the thing that I want, you know, in a nutshell.
You have depends?
You get dependent on technology. You feel dependent on technology once you use it. And then if something goes wrong, you feel helpless. And then you waste 2.5 hours looking for a way to jury-rig tape into an iPhone.
Why didn't we just think of that earlier?
Well, because we were so dependent on this, we couldn't see our way out of the box.
That's right.
What do you think about it?
Well, for today, I guess I have to agree with you.
Damn you.
We become dependent on it, and then when it fails us, we find ourselves feeling naked, you know? So, I mean, my answer really isn't all that different than yours. I mean, I had a power failure here. Not that I get a lot of them here at all, but I had a 25-minute power failure on a really cold day, like 3 or 4 days ago. And, you know, I found my apartment started getting really cold. I couldn't check my email. But in some ways, I long for no technology, you know. In some ways, I think I was born 100 or 200 years too late. I'm wondering what it would be like to live in a cabin where you have to warm yourself by fire and cook over a fire or a potbelly stove. I in some ways,
try it.
I'd like to. I really would. I think it would be fun.
Do you like going camping?
I'm not a camper, but I'm wondering what it would be like to have just a simple log cabin and just live simply. You know, live simply with a potbelly stove.
Go camping.
I'm not a camper. I mean, I'm not the tent type guy, but
well, it's the same deal. I mean, other than the uprights. I mean, you can go hiking out in the woods and go in the Adirondacks. There are a lot of public lean-tos.
Didn't you go camping on your honeymoon?
I did.
And didn't you almost your dog fall in a frozen river or something on your honeymoon?
Actually, it was in a like a little lake that was part of a gorge. Yeah, we went camping in the high peaks.
Freezing
in the Adirondacks
rain or something?
In early October. And in the high peaks in early October, there's snow on the ground usually. And there was one part of the whole peak system where the trail system where you're going through a gorge and the trail is, and I'm using air quotes here, the trail is not really a trail. It's not like a dirt trail. It's logs that are sort of attached to the side of a rock face, and you're walking over water, and you're walking from log to log to log to get through this one section in this gorge. And we had a dog with us. And the
Sam.
Best, no, that was a dog named Alex.
Oh, Alex.
Yeah, he was a puppy. He actually died. He got hit by a car.
Oh, right. No, I remember that. Yeah, yeah. You took him to the veterinarian where Tom's wife was a vet.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we had our, you know, 65, 70-pound packs on us.
Oh, come on. You weren't walking with a 70-pound pack.
I was.
No.
I was.
You're not that strong.
We weighed them before.
You're
lying. And we did the...
You're lying. Anyway, technology.
So to finish the story,
the dog survived.
The only reason why the dog survived is because we had our packs on, and he had a pack on.
You grabbed his pack.
We had his pack attached to a leash, which was tied to my pack, and he fell through the logs and was below, and I had to reel him back up. Yeah, he almost went in the water, and that would have been death to him.
He would have been fine. Dogs are tough.
Yeah, well.
My other problem with technology is how we become a slave to it, you know? And by we, I mean you.
I mean you.
Yeah, not necessarily me, but I mean the Xbox generation, you know, the people who play Guitar Hero 12 hours in a row. And I saw somebody on Facebook the other day that did that.
Well, I would argue that while you're pointing the finger at me, the finger can point right back at yourself. Just because there's one technology that you know, I enjoy playing.
Like, you don't actually play.
I don't,
like these
as
people
much.
Do.
But I mean, you being a film buff and having the television and the Blu-ray and everything, you spend a lot of hours watching, you know, good films. And I'm not faulting you for that. But I don't see that as any different than if someone is enthralled with other bits of technology and they spend lots of time with it. You know, it's as you said, we're quote unquote enslaved to it. You know, it's something that enthralls us, and those are good words because you know the roots of those words are in actual slavery and actual subjugation. So I think it's a good thing.
But some people seem to be addicted to their game console.
I think definitely a psychological addiction to it.
But I could
they escape into them sometimes.
I could turn off my TV and not watch it again. You know, I'm not that addicted. I love films, but I could turn off my TV. Does that mean I don't have to go to the theaters anymore? I guess I could do that if I had to, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure that some people who are heavy duty gamers, they would say the same thing, that I could turn it off if I want to.
Yeah, except I actually could, you know. I mean, it's not
maybe
it's
they
not
could
that
too.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean this guy, I remember seeing his posting on Facebook really early in the morning. I'm playing Xbox Guitar Hero. I'm still playing it, and 12 hours later, I played Xbox Guitar Hero for 12 hours, and of course my thought always goes to pick up a real guitar and play it for 12 hours, and then maybe you could play the instrument, you know? I don't get the whole... this is another
different
show we're going to do. We're going
to
have a guest on to talk about this named Oren, a friend of mine who runs a local cafe. Actually, we did a remote from the Cafe Domenico 2.5 years ago, and you could listen to that show, but anyway.
Next question.
Next.
Well, let's see here. Would you, and this I'll point to you, and you can answer this first. Would you attend a party with many fascinating people you have never met if you had to attend alone?
I do it all the time, so that's an easy one for me.
The answer is yes.
I don't have a huge social network, and most of my friends either live out of town or are what would the word be?
Psychotics.
Sort of like farmer wannabes who go to bed at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. and they wouldn't go out with me for an evening out anyway, just because, you know, I got to get up at 5 a.m. Why?
Playing Xbox, Guitar Hero.
No, they don't actually. These are people that don't even have cable, you know, and
unheard of.
But yeah, I mean, I'm uncomfortable in those social situations, you know, being around lots of people I don't know. But I've been forcing myself into those situations just because I know it's good for me. To quote my friend Deborah, I'm flexing my emotional muscles, you know. Forcing myself, leaving my comfort zone, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. I'm on the fence on this one. I can go either way.
Well, we know that, but let's talk about this question.
Right. You know, Rich, I think you'd protest too much. You know, I think that maybe I would lean towards maybe not going.
Why?
Because you probably know this about me, that I prefer just to observe and listen.
You can go and observe and listen.
I guess. But what I read in this question, it was more leaning towards, well, maybe participating at the party.
Holy surprise party, Batman.
Oh, jeez.
Found one.
But yeah, I'm okay with just going and listening. And I think that's why, you know, Betsy and I get along, sort of compliment each other that way, is because she's very outgoing and she'll go to a party and strike up the conversations and be talking. And I have a blast just listening to the conversations.
But you have to be there to listen.
Yeah, I suppose. But if I didn't know anyone, I would feel kind of awkward and maybe not even slide into the groups and listen. I don't know. Probably not. All right, next question. Would you take 5 months off to travel the world if you had only a 50-50 chance of being employed when you got back?
Well, for me, that's sort of not relevant.
Let's say that if you were employed, I think that's implied in the question.
Yeah. No, I absolutely would. I would go. I mean, I would love to travel the world. And as long as there were places where I could eat food that I could eat and not damage myself. But yeah, I definitely want to do more traveling. So I'm not all that concerned about, 50-50 is pretty good odds. I would take that in this case. I mean, I wouldn't take 50-50 on other things, you know, like, you know, flip a coin, you live, you die. You know, that one's a little weird. But traveling.
And uncommon.
Yeah. No, that happened to me. Rod Serling came out. It was a weird thing. Okay. And yeah, I would absolutely travel the world if there was a 50% chance. Of course, in this economy, you know, in a better economy, you know, even if you lose your job, you may be able to find another job. But of course, this economy, I was looking in the paper, by the way, there were three jobs in yesterday's paper. Three.
Three?
Three, yeah. In the
Are you talking about three total or three that just applied to you?
Three total.
You're kidding me.
No, there were three.
Oh, geez. I hope things turn around soon.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to say that for me, as the odds approached 100% that we'd be that I'd be losing my job when I got back, that would increase my likelihood of going on the trip, because I think that I think it's exciting to be able to go on a trip and know that when you get back, you're unburdened of this stuff. But then again, if there was a 1 in 1,000 chance that I would ever get another job after coming back, like in this economy, I don't know. But I think it's exciting to think that it would. I sometimes need motivation like that to do something dramatic. And if someone said, hey.
Like go to a party with interesting people alone.
Yeah. And if I went to the party and came home and had no job, that would be bizarre.
Holy employment. Wait, is that even on the list?
All right.
It's not.
Next question.
Holy fate worse than death.
No. Losing my job wouldn't be worse than death. It would be close. Next question. What is the value of optimism?
Well, that's actually an interesting question, because the salon that I go to, the Third Thursday Salon, which is tomorrow, because we're recording this on a Wednesday.
Shh. Do not pull that curtain back once you've done
it's over. We're recording on Sunday night, and we're releasing tomorrow. The topic tomorrow is optimism. And everyone was instructed to bring a positive story as it relates to you. And you – I mean, I know the story I'm going to tell.
Tell it.
No. Well, it's going to be about my – celiac diagnosis, actually, just because it was – I see it as all positive. But I'm really excited to see what stories other people are going to bring to the salon tomorrow. I think being positive for the sake of being positive is a good thing if it can affect those around you. So I think optimism has value.
Yeah, but that's not fair. You just saw that movie, Happy Go Lucky, so...
Sometimes it's hard for me, though, because I struggle with depression from time to time. And in fact, for the past month, I've been kind of down in the dumps. And trying to remain positive was something challenging, you know. It was just very difficult for me for the past month. But I seem to be on my way up. I'm on the up of a trough here, or the up of a peak. And I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, just if you can have a positive benefit for those around you, I think it's a great thing. So I think being positive is a good thing to do. Not always easy, well, but I try my best.
Well, I mean, that's I think that's more of like an attitude thing. And I think that that's part of optimism. But wouldn't optimism be like forward-looking? So do you think that being optimistic has the same kind of thing where if you're optimistic, it sort of rubs off on other people?
Well, no, I definitely believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to some degree, you know, some people are tough. They're a tough nut to crack. And I have a friend in Germany who's generally always depressed. He's just difficult to get to see the positive, you know, because he's kind of mired in this negativity. And I'll exchange all these emails with him, and I can't I just can't get him to see my way of thinking, you know. Sometimes he's just so stuck in the negative. I don't know.
Well, now you have to kill him then.
I've been thinking about it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that the value of optimism, for me at least, is that it's it gives you something to move towards. And for me, optimism...
It's like a light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, no. It's more like it's like a motivation. Like for me, optimism, one of the components of optimism is having a goal and having a positive goal and feeling like if you...
So you're that Mexican guy who does the soccer game. Goal!
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I'm not the guy who does it. I'm the guy who makes the goal.
Yeah.
So if you've got the goal and you've got something positive to look forward to that sort of draws you towards it and keeps you going, it's a motivational factor there for me. Keeps me waking up in the morning, getting out of bed. Otherwise, it would be really easy, especially with these horrible cold temperatures and waking up early in the morning and it's still dark. It would be really easy to stay in bed with the covers over my head.
Yeah. 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 Not it's so easy for me, though. I eventually lay there and go, I got to get up. There's no point in sitting here. There's laying here. There's nobody on my right. So, you know, time to get up. I got to go use the bathroom, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. Well, I think that would be
the
show.
Was that all the questions?
Yeah, those are all the show. They're all
no,
the
I was
going to
talk about this movie I saw just very briefly.
Oh, okay. Hit it.
I saw a film called The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which for me was what Life is Beautiful should have been. And I'm not going to give away the ending or anything like that because this has...
tanks.
That was the end of the Life is Beautiful, yeah. They won the prize, and the prize were the tanks. But I don't know. Do you remember on our Film Fest show, I think that was one of your top 20, wasn't it, the Life is Beautiful?
I don't remember if it was one of my top 20. I have to go back to the list, but I love that film.
I think it was, and I had a problem with it. I may be the only person in the world who really didn't love that film. I mean, I thought it was okay, but my biggest problem with it was I just didn't find it believable. And this, you know, creating this set of circumstances in such a horrific, you know, people actually died in the Holocaust. So for Benigni to create this game and this thing that could have never happened in a concentration camp and
you don't know that.
Creating a movie, it's just so unlikely that it just couldn't have happened.
That's
I mean,
what's
I don't
remarkable
know.
About it is because it's unlikely, but you know, you hear all the time about unlikely and remarkable things.
Well, I had several problems with the film, but you know, for me, Benigni, and I don't mean he was being disrespectful, but I mean he was just lightheartedly taking what I thought was a very serious topic and treating it perhaps a little too lightheartedly. But The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, for me, was what Life is Beautiful should have been. It had a kid, you know, a wonderful German boy whose father was a member of the German army and whose father was the commandant of a death camp. And the child in the distance would see like these fences in the distance, and he assumed it was a farm. So he would always ask his dad about the farm, you know, what's going on with the farm? Why do those people in the farm wear pajamas with vertical stripes on them? You know, the kid always had these great questions. So we were seeing what was the Holocaust through these very naive eyes of Bruno, who was like an 8 or 10 year old German boy. And at the end of the day, it's really pretty sad when the entire policies of a nation can't withstand the scrutiny of an 8 year old. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously 8 year olds are very bright, but yet at the same time, their brain isn't developed enough to understand and resolve particularly complex things, you know, most 8 year olds. I mean, right?
Well, yeah. I know a couple.
Yeah. Help me out here.
Well, I'm...
You can just agree. Just shut up and agree.
I can't disagree. And I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking, well, what about the policies of our nation? Well, maybe they're a little bit more complex than, you know, you don't kill people just because of their race or religion. But I'm sure that there are a lot of policies that we've got in place where if a kid said, everyone deserves to have health care, right? You know, why does one person get to see a doctor and another person can't get to see a doctor? To me, that's a major question that isn't being answered.
Yeah, and that's a question certainly that an 8-year-old could pose.
Right. So, yeah, I agree.
So this child was thrust into remarkable circumstances, and he ended up suddenly being very conflicted about the feelings he had for his father. You know, he, without his parents' permission, he would walk out of their backyard and sneak out of their backyard and go to the fence line of this camp. And he ended up meeting a boy, the boy in the striped pajamas. And he ended up developing a relationship and a friendship with this boy. And the whole crux of the film lies in his not understanding, you know, what's going on in the camp. What is his dad's relation to the camp? Well, wait a minute. I don't get it. You know, why would we dislike somebody just because they're Jewish? You know, things like that. All the kind of questions that an 8-year-old inquisitive mind would ask, and the father didn't have a good answer for, because obviously there isn't a good answer.
Well, he has an answer, but the answer sheds too much light on his hypocrisy, and he's embarrassed.
Well, and the answer is just ridiculous because, right. You know, you don't kill people for arbitrary reasons. You kill them for good reasons.
For their money.
That's right. Yeah. You don't kill them because they're Jewish. You know,
you kill them because they wanted a poker game or something.
This film was also not the film that I thought it was.
It wasn't Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, no, they kept showing previews for it. And if you look at the trailers online, they would describe the film as
a heartwarming romp,
uplifting. And I was hoping for that uplifting story. However, the story ended up being quite tragic, and I'm not going to give the ending away. But, I mean, this film was phenomenal. And, again, I thought it was the film that Life is Beautiful should have been.
So at the end, he got a tank.
And no, he did not get a tank. None of the boys got a tank at the end. But I can't recommend this film enough. This is the only film that I've ever left. I've left several films at Munson where the crowd was in stunned silence, but I've never left a film where my friend Ken, who typically sits in front of me, he's a sociology professor at a local college. I've never been in a film where he was unable to speak to me at the end of the film. And Ken is also Jewish, and this might have hit home because Ken is probably in his 50s and probably has relatives who died, close relatives who died in the Holocaust.
Sure.
And I've never seen Ken just pat me on the shoulder, not even able to say a word, just walk past me, pat me on the shoulder, and go without saying a word. But pretty remarkable film, and again, what I think Life is Beautiful should have been, but what Benigni failed at.
I can't speak to it because I haven't seen the
film.
Well,
put it on your queue. Put it
is
on
in
your
my
playlist.
Queue.
Yeah,
it won't be out for months, right. But I'll check it out. And
I'll
probably disagree with you.
We'll talk about this film again. Yeah, I'm sure you'll disagree with me on this
because
one.
I don't think that a film has to necessarily be believable to be enjoyable. And
well,
to hit
I don't
home.
Believe that either. But I think with regards to this subject matter, maybe it should take it a little more seriously. I don't know. It's difficult for me to put into words exactly what I'm feeling about this.
I think I get you. You're a wiener.
I'm a winner.
Hey, guess what?
I don't know. What do you got? Oh, it's one of those, huh? It's the trusty OddPod playing our outro music.
I don't know. Maybe this is all the computer we need from now on.
Well, it is. But, you know, this is kind of cool, too.
I like the fireplace. Maybe we can just get a Yule log playing on it.
I know. Maybe we should just get a real Yule log. Maybe we should just start the house on fire and do it outside in the cold.
You have got a plan, my friend.
I always do anyway. This is Rich Wilgus.
And John Tallarico.
You've been listening to Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
And guess what?
We still have a form.
You know what?
What?
I think Jim Rome is a punk.
Well, we knew that. Check out the forum. It's bloodyveg.com/forum. My name is Rich the Crippler Wilgus, and I am sitting across the table from John the Butterbean Tallarico. And you've been listening to The VIB.